Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week was Palm Sunday, the first day in Holy Week. So we took some time to remember the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem and ask four questions based on the crowd who welcomed him in. Follow along and we hope you enjoy this message. So today is Palm Sunday. Does anybody want to fill us in on what Palm Sunday is remembering? Does anybody know? This is not a trick question. Pretty straightforward. Yeah, Joby? Jesus' last ride into Jerusalem. Sometimes we call it his triumphal entry, right? This is the beginning of the week before Jesus was going to be crucified. So this is Sunday. Sometimes, depending who you ask, people call this Palm Sunday, but then they'll take Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And because it's Holy Week, they say that's Holy Monday, Holy Tuesday, Holy Wednesday. And then does anybody know what Thursday is often referred to in the whole week of Holy Week? Anybody know? Yeah. The Last Supper. Yep. There's also another word for it that they've kind of titled it. They didn't title it the Last Supper Thursday. They kind of narrowed it down to one word. It's a funny looking word. And it is pronounced Maundy Thursday, okay? But it is, yeah, to remember the Last Supper, this time that Jesus spent with his disciples. There is so many important things that happened at the Last Supper. And then Friday is what? This is kind of maybe an easy one. Yes, Ava? Good Friday, not Black Friday. How many of you often get those mixed up? Anybody? I think I just a week ago said, oh yeah, Black Friday service. Nope, that's not right. But sometimes actually Saturday is called Black Saturday because remember, so it's Good Friday because, it does feel almost like maybe it should be Black Friday because Friday is the day when Jesus was crucified. That's the day that we remember this week that Jesus was crucified. So Saturday is often called Black Saturday because he's in the tomb. It's just representing that darkness, that period of time where Jesus was in the grave, when he was dead, where he was no longer with his physical body. And then, of course, Sunday is what? Everybody knows what Sunday is. Easter, right. The Easter bunny came and put eggs at the tomb. Just kidding. The Easter bunny has basically nothing to do with our faith. It's just kind of a silly thing that the culture has taken hold of Easter for to make a lot of money, probably. But it is kind of fun in some ways. So yeah, Easter Sunday, Jesus is resurrected. So they count Friday, Saturday, Sunday as the 3 days that Jesus was dead in the grave. And Sunday we celebrate his resurrection. So Palm Sunday is often referred to as this time when Jesus was making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And he was making it at a time where there was like maybe 10 times the normal number of people who were in Jerusalem. Maybe somewhere around like 250,000 to 500,000 people were in Jerusalem. It was a really busy time. And the reason we call it Palm Sunday is because they laid what at kind of the feet of Jesus as he's riding this donkey in to Jerusalem. Does anybody know what they laid at his feet? It wasn't like, hey, we lay our palms on the ground. Gage, you think you know what it was? Palm branches, right? So kind of funny to think through. We're going to read through the Palm Sunday story, but kind of funny to think through all these hundreds of thousands of people in Jerusalem, and some portion of them are welcoming Jesus in. And one of the ways that they did it, and they would have recognized people who were maybe royalty or had some other high place in society, and they would have done the same thing, these palm branches. But kind of funny to think that maybe all these people were climbing trees, trying to get palm branches, and then there's all these like palm tree nuts just around Jerusalem because they've gotten all the branches off of them. Kind of silly. Like imagine you go to the beach or you go maybe down to Florida, you see a bunch of palm trees and they're all just stripped. It's just a bunch of nubs, right? Kind of a silly picture there. But today we are going to talk about Palm Sunday and we're going to read the story. I think this story is actually in all four of the Gospels in the Scriptures. It's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But today we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 21 to read this story of Palm Sunday. It's just going to be 11 verses. We're kind of going to go through it and pause a little bit along the way. And out of these 11 verses and kind of some of the things that we're seeing with the crowd, and I'm going to fill in some of the blanks between what happened on Palm Sunday and then kind of move a little bit towards Easter and Good Friday especially. But we're going to pull four questions that I actually think are incredibly important, not just around Easter, not just for us today on Palm Sunday, but these four questions might, in some ways, I don't want to over-exaggerate, but they might be some of the most important questions that you will ever ask yourself and questions you need to keep coming back to on a regular basis. And I know that sounds like a really big statement, but I think you'll see why I'm saying that in just a minute. So here we go, Matthew chapter 21, and remember, this is before Jesus is crucified. This is the week leading up to it. Verse 1 says, "Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem," that's Jesus and his disciples, "and they came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once.'" Okay, you're reading this correctly, okay? This is kind of a silly thing. Maybe you've never really thought about this, but Jesus is saying, hey, go to this area, right? He's saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey. So go to this village. You're going to find a donkey. It's somebody's donkey. Like, it's somebody else's donkey, okay? This would be like somebody coming to you about your bike. How many of you have a bike? How many of you regularly ride your bike? Like, you'd say, like, let's just go with once a month, okay? I know it's a day and age. We basically can teleport places with the power of ChatGPT, AI, okay? Some of you are like, that's funny. Others of you are like, ChatGPT, it's going to take over the world. So you better get to know him soon, or her, or it. I don't know what it is. But you have a bike, and it's your bike, and somebody comes up to you. In fact, two dudes come up to you, and they say, hey, we're taking your bike. What? Like, that's what they're doing with this donkey, okay? They're coming to this person and saying, hey, we're taking your donkey. And Jesus says, if anybody asks you, why do you need this? Just tell them that the Lord said it's fine, basically, okay? So, hey, give me your bike. The Lord said it's good. What's your reaction in this moment? Are you like, okay, weird stranger? Of course, stranger danger is going off in your mind immediately, right? Two gentlemen approach you and ask you for your bike and tell you that the Lord said that it's okay. That's kind of what it is with this donkey. And I guess the person ended up giving it. In fact, we have a picture of what the donkey looked like. Somebody took a photo way back when. I guess that's not a donkey. That's donkey, right? Donkey. But no, that's not actually. Okay, that's from Shrek. Okay, have you guys seen Shrek? Surely you've at least seen a picture of the Shrek donkey. That's not actually the donkey. So they come up to this place. They ask for the donkey, and it seems like they end up getting the donkey, right? The Lord needs them, is what verse 3 says. They were supposed to tell the owner of the donkey. Okay, this has not really much to do with the questions I'm going to ask, but I thought it was funny. We're going to keep going. An interesting little tidbit. Verse 4 says, hey, here's why this is happening. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. So they go, they get this donkey. If somebody stopped them, we actually, I guess, don't really know. Did somebody stop them or what? But they get the donkey. Person, I guess, is fine with it. And they bring it back so Jesus can ride this donkey into Jerusalem. Now, this was done to fulfill a prophecy. The prophecy was about Jesus specifically riding a donkey in. And you might be wondering, like, why a donkey? I mean, then maybe that is the image of the donkey from Shrek that comes to your mind when you think about this big animal. Like, not a very majestic being, not a magnificent beast, right? And the reason is, obviously, partly to fulfill this prophecy, but in fulfilling the prophecy, here's the statement that's being made. It's a symbol of peace. It's a symbol of humility. If Jesus were to ride in on a war horse or on a horse, the typical thought during this time was a horse was more of a symbol of war. And interestingly enough, a lot of people actually expected that Jesus was going to come and make war when he came to earth. But everything he did, including this, riding on a donkey, was more about, no, I haven't come to just turn everything upside down and wipe people out and take over and rule and reign and be your new earthly king. but I've come to bring peace. I've come in the most humble of ways. And he keeps doing that as he's riding this donkey. Verse 7 says, they brought the donkey and the colt, and they put them, they put on them cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! So, again, keep getting this picture. He's riding this donkey in, and the people are laying palm branches. They're also taking off their cloaks at this point and putting them on the road. It's almost like so he can't really touch the dusty, dirty road, right? It's a symbol of honor. It's a symbol of, man, this guy is royalty. In this moment, these people seem to know who Jesus is, or it seems like they're recognizing him. In fact, so much so, they're saying, Hosanna, which can be a sign of praise. Can be like, you know, we sing Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, but can also be, and I think this was largely what the people were asking for, can be a way of saying, save me now. Hosanna, save me now. Here's what I think the people in some way were recognizing in this moment is that Jesus is some kind of savior. Jesus is some kind of savior. And in a minute, we're going to talk a little bit more about it. This is starting to lead us into our four questions. But they knew that Jesus was going to save them from something they just didn't have their minds fully wrapped around, or maybe weren't ready for exactly what it meant that Jesus was going to save them, or rather how he was going to save them. The last two verses, and then we'll talk through our four questions. Verse 10 says, and when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, right? It's like a celebrity has come to town and word just spreads. He's here, he's here, he's here. Hosanna in the highest. Maybe people were hearing on the other side of town. They were hearing the praises that were being lifted up. Surely they were hearing some sort of cheers and some kind of commotion. And it seems like the whole city is stirred. They start to become aware Jesus is here. And they were saying, who is this? Maybe some people were unaware. They hadn't quite heard the stories. Remember, for all these people coming to Jerusalem, they would have been coming from lands near and far. And they're starting to understand, hey, something's happening. Somebody here is special. Who is this? And the crowds said, the people who understood, at least in part, said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. And it had to be in their minds, maybe this is the one who is going to save us. Hosanna, save us now. Who is this? Many of the people were asking, and that is actually our first question for today. Who is Jesus? This may really be one of the most important questions that you can ask yourself. In fact, there's been many theologians and folks gone by who have said things like, hey, the most important thing about you is what you think about God. So let me ask you, who is Jesus to you? And let me make this really clear, because here's kind of how these four questions work. These four questions are for you. They're not for your parents. They're not for the person next to you. They're not for your small group leader. They're not for me. Well, they are for me personally, but they're not for me to answer on your behalf. They're for you to answer for yourself. This is between you and the Lord. Because here's where I know a lot of you are, and it's not a bad thing. It was where I was when I was sitting in your shoes. It wasn't until eighth grade that I truly trusted in Jesus. Many of you have been riding the coattails, so to speak. You've been following the path. You've been walking the same way that your parents have, or maybe that your older brother or sister has, or maybe that one of your leaders that you look up to here has, or maybe even the path that I've walked. Like, you've been relying in some ways on our faith and sort of kind of adopting it as your own. And there's some things that are right about that. Like, you should see things that are modeled and want to take those things on. But at some point, you can't just rely on the faith of other people anymore, and your faith has to become personal to you. So I'm not even asking you, hey, what's the right answer when it comes to who Jesus is? Really, what I'm asking you is, hey, in your heart and in your mind, who is Jesus to you? Is he just a good guy that we talk about on Sundays and sometimes you end your prayer by saying in Jesus' name? Is he a guy that just had some good things to say and now they've been written about in the scriptures and so we read them and maybe your family reads a devotional about them and, you know, if somebody says you believe in Jesus, you just say, yeah, I do. Or maybe you're on kind of another spectrum of that. Like, you've got some serious questions. Like, I don't really know. Like, some of the things that Jesus said, I'm not even sure are true. Like, are you wrestling with who Jesus was in a very real sense? Or is he Lord? Is he your Savior? Are there things that you can see in your life that, no, Jesus has actually changed me. He's transformed me. He's made me new, and here's some ways that he's done that. You know, C.S. Lewis kind of had a way of breaking this down, and he said, Jesus is either liar, lunatic, or Lord. Like, he's either lying, like maybe he said some good stuff, but when it came to talking about who he was, he actually was lying about that just to gain some more power, gain some more authority. And so maybe you could kind of take some of the things he said that were good about life, but tread lightly because he was lying about others. Or he just was a lunatic, like he was absolutely crazy. He was out of his mind. He had no idea what he was saying. Like, what do you mean you're the Son of Man? What in the world are you talking about? Telling people how they should live. Or maybe he was Lord. Like, he actually was who he said he was. He actually is worth giving your life to. Depending how you answer this question, who is Jesus? And this is just the first one. May not spend as much time on the other three, but it's really, really important. Depending on who you say Jesus is will affect the trajectory of your life. Because think about it, where you land may bring you to a place of, so I just keep doing life the way I'm doing. I keep trying hard. I keep trying to control things. I keep just doing what I can to bring pleasure to myself. Or maybe on the far other end of the spectrum, it means no. So now, what does it look like every single day to follow him in the way I talk, in the way I see others, in how I treat other people, in how I treat and see myself, in how I relate to God? You see, it changes things how you answer this question, who is Jesus? The crowd had a bunch of different thoughts on that. But at least some of them, it seems like, hey, they wanted what it seems like he was offering. Because they're like, hey, save us now. Give us this life that you've been putting on display, which leads us to our second question. Do you really desire the life that Jesus offers? All right, so you got question number one. Who is Jesus to you? Question number two, do you really desire the life that Jesus offers? I actually think the crowd that day, at least some of them, as they think about Jesus, they're like, yeah, I want a Savior. I need a Savior. The things that Jesus has been doing where he's been bringing healing and he's been taking broken things and putting back together, I want that in my life. Maybe for us, we would describe it as like, hey, yeah, we want the peace that Jesus offers. We want the grace. We want the forgiveness. We want the mercy. We want the comfort. We want the life that Jesus offers. I think many people in the crowd were that way as well. Is that something that you truly desire? And maybe you don't. Maybe you're like, I don't know, man. And maybe that's why this third question is so important. Are you really willing to follow Jesus? Because in order to experience the life that Jesus offers, it actually means that you have to truly follow him. You know what happened with many of the folks who were in this crowd? Shouting Hosanna, making trees into nubs, laying their very clothes that were on their backs on the ground, welcoming him in, is that many of these people, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 6 days later, they were some of the same people who were calling for his death. Because for them, when it came to this question, are you willing to follow Jesus? Maybe you want the things that he offers, like, oh, I heard he fed 5,000. No, it might have been like 15,000 people that he fed out of some little boy's Lunchable. Oh man, I heard that he rubbed mud in that dude's eyes and it was really weird. But he healed him, like he was able to see after that. oh man, and maybe he's the one who's actually going to flip the government on its head and bring Jewish people to their rightful place. Knock out the Roman military. Here's the deal. When Jesus didn't meet some of the criteria, and instead of being the strong ruler that they thought was coming, he actually was weak enough to be put on trial, wrongfully found guilty, even though they may not have understood that wrongful part, but he was found guilty and now he's going to die. Not interested. In fact, I'll join with others who are calling for his death. When the life that he offers didn't seem like, hey, the path to get there is worth it, the people peaced out. They turned their back on Jesus. So are you real? Yeah, you might want the things that Jesus offers, but if you knew that you had to have to follow him to get there, and that sometimes that path includes some suffering. Sometimes that path includes, hey, instead of chasing status in the current place you are, actually Jesus has asked you to be the lowest of low and to serve those around you, to humble yourself. Maybe that's not the path that we'd really like to follow. But if you know who Jesus is and you know in your heart, like, yes, those are the things that I desire, then what does it look like for us to daily, truly follow him with everything we have? Which leads us to question four. Maybe a helpful one in determining, hey, like, so if that's you, like, what's actually getting in the way? What right now are you devoted to? What right now gets your primary attention? What right now might be some of the things that are preventing you? Hey, yes, I know who Jesus is. Yes, I want the life he offers. Yes, I want to follow him. So what are the things that maybe are getting in the way for some of us actually doing that on a regular basis? And maybe a follow-up question to this is, and what would it take to knock or move those things out of the way? Is it relationships that are incredibly toxic? This could be a boyfriend, girlfriend, but it could also just be a simple friendship that's toxic. And you know, like, man, whenever I get with this person, I'm just a different person. And sometimes I kind of like that because it means I take some risks and do some things I wouldn't normally do. But in the end, I'm not sure that that's actually who I'm supposed to be. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's just some things that you're spending your time on. What gets your primary attention? Maybe it's things that you're filling your day and your mind and your heart with. What would it take to move those things out of the way? Maybe it's some dreams and ambitions, and it's not wrong to plan, and it's not wrong to have hopes and dreams, but sometimes when those hopes and dreams are all we think about and all we plan towards and all we move towards without ever asking, hey, Lord, is this actually what you have for me? That can be something that's getting in the way of truly following Jesus. I can't answer all of these questions for you. Just like I started, these questions are for you. They are between you and the Lord. But we can help each other by talking and discussing these things in places like small groups. And if you guys have any questions about these things, you know that myself and Brentley and Dinsky and Nathan Sheehan, we are here for you guys. Your small group leaders are here for you guys to discuss these things. Four questions. Hopefully you see that there is some great level of importance in these, and maybe they'll spark some good conversation in your own mind and in your small group right now as you think through, hey, who really is Jesus? And how do I think through these other questions that we've asked this morning? Hopefully Palm Sunday is a day that we celebrate and remember well, but this entire week is really set aside to remember Jesus and his sacrifice for us. And so maybe these questions help you do that, but I'd encourage you to spend some time this week doing that in your own way as well. Let me pray for us, and then we will go to small groups and keep discussing this. Lord, thanks for this week that in our Christian calendar, so to speak, we've set aside, as this is a week that we take out of every year specifically to remember Jesus and to remember this last week of his life. God, I pray that you would help us do that this week. And God, that as we discuss and think through him, maybe some of the things that the crowd on Palm Sunday was wrestling with and considering, that maybe some of these things are worth considering for ourselves. So help us to do that in our own hearts and minds and with you but also help us do that in small groups as we go from this room this morning. We love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.